Well, once again, good evening. Glad to see you all here. And I realize that we all have days to go through on Sundays and afternoons, maybe rest, maybe we have grandchildren like we did today, and we keep our energy up, and then just before the doors open, we crash. But I'm glad to be here, and I know that you're here because of the same reason I am, and that is faith. To rejoice together, to love God as we do, can't be better. And so, we want to get into a lesson this evening. I'm really glad for the song, Rock of Ages. You know, you think of all the things in life that can cause us to trip, to stumble, all the rocks in our way, if you think of it that way, and yet this one rock, the Rock of Ages, is the rock that can keep us. It can keep us in the joy of the Lord, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's that rock upon which we stand. It's an unwavering rock, a rock that does not move, it does not falter, and it is a sure rock. Of course, we know that the rock is built upon the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself. And if our faith and our hope and the love that we have is indeed in Jesus Christ, then guess what? Our faith and our love and our hope can't be shaken. And so we want to talk about that. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin and double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. What a wonderful sentiment as we begin talking tonight about this idea that's found in the book of Galatians chapter 5. It is the second fruit of the Spirit. If we look at that book of Galatians, we can see that in chapter 5. And at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Listen, we are children of God. Everyone that worships together in that same Spirit is a child of God. But you know what? We do have things that can get in the way. We have troubles and trials in life. There is no question of that. None of us live without trials. Jesus faced trials, many, many, many trials, probably more so than any of us. And those trials, they can get hard. We'll talk about some of those. But they're not the kind of thing that should shift our joy meters. Our joy meter is based, its voltage, its power comes from Jesus Christ above and not from anything upon this earth. And so we want our joy meter to be constantly powered by the Word of God, by the understanding of God's great love, by our knowledge of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, and the knowledge that we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All those things come together to stabilize our joint meters. And so we want to, you know, I mentioned many times that I grew up from third grade all the way through high school and long after that playing the violin. And I love my violin, and I cut off my finger, as you know, most of you know. And so without this finger and with this finger that doesn't work, it's really hard to play the violin. And so that violin doesn't bring me joy anymore. It's actually sitting on a glass shelf in the hallway at the house there. I look at it once in a while. That's it. You know, falling in love brought me great joy.
Falling in love with my wife
brought me amazing joy. And that really hasn't changed over the years. Falling in love with Jesus, though, brought me the greater joy, the greatest joy that I've ever known in my entire life. Because falling in love with Jesus freed me from every part of my life that would drag me down. It made my joy meter go up and not go down. All the things that used to drag me down. The birth of my children brought me great joy. We watched a video today of my son Tony when he was like that big. And my son Jim when he was this big, and my daughter Angela when she was this, and it was crazy things they were doing. We laughed. My grandchildren got to see what their dad looked like when he was younger than they are. And it was a fun time. And my first child, Angela, when she was born, I was in the room with all my children. I was in the room. And I remember that doctor, and I remember everything that happened, and I remember how excited I was, and I just couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to hold that baby. What joy. But you know what? They grow up. And that changed. Not that I don't have joy in my kids, but they've become adults. My work brought me joy. But you know, all these things are temporary. They come and they go. And so your joy meter, if your joy meter is based upon your first love, then that joy meter can drop really quick. If your joy meter is based on some activity that you loved to do in the past, and maybe you just get so old you can't do it anymore, it's like, I don't ski anymore. Doesn't that joy meter go down? Maybe it's my children. Maybe they become a problem and my joy meter goes down. These things are all temporary. They all go tumbling down. And if our joy is based upon anything in this world, anything whatsoever, then our joy can tumble. Our joy meter can go clear to zero. And we can live a life filled of sorrow and sadness. One greater example, and it's an example that I honestly don't want to face, is life without Jesus, yet life with all the joys of this world. No matter what they are, to grow old together as husband and wife, what a joy that would be. And yet that in itself can change quickly. Temporary, even that long-lasting love relationship. How many people do we know who have been married 60, 70, even 80 years? But there has to come that time when that joy ends and sorrow takes its place. Unless we're not focused on that grave, unless we're not worried because that loved one's gone, unless we're not focused so much on the dirt in the ground as we are on the soul in heaven. When we have a relationship together, that marriage relationship may end, but the spiritual relationship goes on and on and on all the way into eternity. And I can look forward to that day when I'd be reunited with my loved one. My joy meter doesn't change. It might falter. I'm human. We're all human. We all have emotions. But the truth is, if we get past our emotions and turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ, our joy will last for eternity. Real joy, okay? The fruit of the Holy Spirit that we just read about in Galatians. It occurs only in those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Real joy. It's the kind of joy that
Losing an occupation can't take away. Losing a loved one can't take it away. Losing a finger and not being able to play the violin cannot take it away. Even as tragic may be, losing a child cannot completely drown ourselves in sorrows. When that joy meter falters a little bit, then the love of Christ and the assurance of salvation, the assurance of the resurrection, the assurance of our adoption as children of God, the assurance of being able to be in heaven one day, let me tell you, that meter will go right back up. It is deep in our souls when we have the assurance like that. It will help us face all. You think about James and what he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you face various trials and or temptations. He says, count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Listen to what James said, James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He's telling us, yeah, your meter can fall. Your meter can waver. But you count it all joy because you know your future. We've all heard that, right? I don't know what my future holds or the future holds, but I know who holds my future. My joy meter goes up. So we have the trials of life. We have to deal with sicknesses like cancer, bankruptcy. That's not a sickness. That's a problem. Problems like cancer, bankruptcy, the death of a loved one, even a spouse, that can cause the meter to move, but the meter will come back because we know where we will be in eternity. And we know this all because we know that Jesus is carrying us through. He doesn't stop trials and troubles in our life, but He gives us something to look for. He gives us something to hope for. And that is that great joy. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John 15. Listen, start at beginning here, John 15 at verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. That's verse 9. Look at verse 10 with me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in Him, in His love rather. Look at verse 11. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Where's your joy meter? When you abide in the love of God, when you abide into Christ, when we keep the Father's commandments, these things are going to be ours. The joy of Jesus Christ will be in us so that our joy might be full. Our meter's full. The tank's full. Whatever you want to use as an analogy. The psalmist David, if you remember Psalm 37, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he delights in his way, and though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down because he is held up by the hands of God. When we abide in Christ, when we abide in God, when we abide in His love, His joy is in us, and we may falter, we may miss a step here and there, but the scripture through David tells us that we shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with His hand. I'm seeing joy in just having that relationship with God. In John 1:1, we can't help but have joy to know that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and by Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus Christ came into the world to bring us light, to shift us out of darkness, not only the darkness of sin, but turmoils, suffering, confusion, depression, all these things. Jesus came as a light to the world to bring us out of that darkness by telling us that if we have that right relationship with Him, if we have the right relationship with the Father, if we abide in their love, if we keep their commandments, then His joy becomes our joy. Think of that. Our joy is complete as Christians. And that's because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. First John, chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, John writes, and you have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We've overcome the world. He's in us. He's greater than the world. So the world says, you've lost your job. Jesus says, it'll be okay. The world says, you have cancer. You're going to die. The world tells you how horrible that is. And Jesus says, I'll be there on the other side. You just wait and see. Think of that. Our joy is complete as Christians. And it's literally incomplete when we're not Christians. In the beginning, that which was from the beginning, John writes. That which was from the beginning. That's Jesus Christ, present in creation. He's the one that can fulfill all our joy. You know, we think about understanding joy. You consider Job. You know, if you're looking through the book of Job, Job chapter 1, Job is going to be tested by the devil. He loses his children. He loses his possessions. In chapter 2, he loses his health. At verse 9, he loses his wife. Right? Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die, she says. He laments, chapter 3. May the day perish when I was born, he says. The night it was, a male child conceived. Job was not really happy. His meter was faltering. It was going down. Chapter 4, his friends begin to reprove him. Chapter 12, you think of Job, and how he proclaims God's omnipotence, all the power he proclaims of God. Job, the same guy that in the beginning lost his family, his possessions, everything, including his own health and the respect of his wife, and he's facing all these wonderful friends of his. And then he professes and confirms his belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in chapter 19. Well, I'll tell you, Job's gone through a lot. Nothing could take away his faith. And understand that the study of Job is not about suffering. We'll have to do a study on Job. It's not about suffering, right? It's about victory. We have victory in Christ. Job had victory in his faith of God and of the coming of a Savior. And with that, he pronounced the omnipotence of God, his confirmed belief in the resurrection to come. And the source of his joy was in God, from God. And at the end of it, Nothing could take that away from Job. Not his friends, not the loss of family, possessions, health. He still held to his integrity. So yes, his meter, it certainly faltered. In chapter 23, Job, you know, longs to appear before God. In chapter 26, he declares the greatness of his God. In chapter 28, Job understands the wisdom of God in all things. Where can that wisdom be found, Job says? And where is its place, its understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. It's all about God and His great power. And of course, as we, you know, as you read on in there, you get into chapter 42. After all the questioning about where does wisdom come from? Does God understand the way He knows His place? And in chapter 42 of Job, Job repents. I have heard of you, Lord, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He's humbled before God. And because of that, as James said, humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. Job will be lifted up. And as we understand that, Job was restored twofold. He got everything he had, plus the Lord restored Job's losses, chapter 42 and verse 10. When he prayed, and his friends indeed, the Lord, He gave him twice as much as he had before. So that lesson from Job teaches us that he was standing on a rock. His faith was in God. Should I curse God and die? That meter may have faltered with Job, but he was victorious. And in the end, that meter was full of joy again. And so the temporary problems of life, whether they're temporary to death or temporary in between death and life, they don't let them drown you in sorrows. Look at the book of Matthew with me here. The book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 17. That which was fulfilled was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, or that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was, and I'll pay attention, fulfilled. Fulfilled. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Fulfilled. Look over at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23. And come and live in a city called Nazareth that it might be fulfilled. Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. Luke 7 verse 1. And after he had finished speaking in the hearing of the people. John chapter 13 verse 8. But the scripture would be fulfilled which says he ate bread with me. And then James, of course, chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed. I just want you to point out in your mind that word fulfilled. Many of those were prophecies. Things that were fulfilled in Christ that were prophesied hundreds and thousands of years earlier. That should give us joy because those prophecies came true. There are thousands of prophets in our time who prophesy about the coming of Jesus, prophesy about this event and that event, and 99% of the time they're wrong. We have 320 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to the coming of Christ, point to His ministry, point to His work upon the earth, and they point to His death upon the cross and His resurrection from the grave, and they're all true. They've all come true. Why should our joy meter go this way? When we know all of these things are true about our Lord and our Savior, our joy meter needs to be complete. It needs to be over here. When we have trials and troubles, turn to the joy of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ in us through our faith and our baptism. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have God in us. All three of those are in us according to the Scriptures. We are standing upon the rock of Christ, and our joy is complete in Jesus Christ. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Listen, our joy can never fail. It can never fail. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, Jesus said, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. People are being persecuted a lot more than we are in the first century, and yet they were able to have joy. We can overcome suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 13. Peter tells us clearly, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceedingly and exceeding joy. Think about that. Our joy will overcome persecution, overcome suffering. When I consider the suffering of this present age, not worthy, worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, in Him, we can't fail. There is no way on earth that we're going to lose our joy if we are in Christ. We lack nothing. Right? There's nothing. To Him who is able to keep you from falling in this present age, Job says. We have Jude telling us that. We're never alone. We're remembered by God in heaven. God does never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will never forget us. We are His children. He loves us. He cares for us. He seeks to make our pathway straight. We need to be found faithful. And then what amazing joy we'll have. Your words were found and I did eat them. You hear that? And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Secret, no longer a secret. Eat God's words. Eat, drink, and the joy of God will be yours. Will you have troubles? Of course you will. Will your meter falter every once in a while? Yes, but will it ever stay down? No. Because no matter what happens in life, the joy that Jesus gives was His joy. And for the joy of the cross, Jesus died for each one of us. Certainly He is the Rock of Ages. Certainly Jesus Christ, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? All for sin would not atone. Thou must save, and Thou alone. We want to extend an invitation to anyone who wants to obey the gospel of Christ, to become a part of the body of Christ, and also to those who may be suffering from some form of sin in their life. The invitation stands. You know, we have a song, 813, if you'll open your hymnals to that song. 813. Just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me. Would you please come forward if you have a need this night as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Just as I am.